It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. Second quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. As promised, Audrey Snyder, our good friend from The Athletic, joins us to talk some Penn State, Maryland. We'll get into bowls and that sort of thing. And it's a good time, Audrey, with the regular season in the books and senior day in the books, to look back a little bit, not only at the season as a whole, but, you know, the 2014 recruiting class and Trace McSorley as a whole. So we'll get there. I know that you just rewatched the game not long ago. I'm curious what you saw on film. Let's start right there. It was a pretty dominant effort on first blush. I'm sure on second blush it was the same thing.
Yeah, Etor Grismetos looked insanely good live and looked equally insanely impressive watching it again. I mean, that's one of the things, Justin. I think when you look at this season and the success of this Penn State defense, I don't think it was any coincidence that when James Franklin was asked after the game to kind of evaluate the job that Brent Pry did, that he mentioned the fact that Pry and Sean Spencer have been with him for a while and that those guys mean a lot to him, that he's fiercely loyal to them. Because I certainly think that the season that both of those two guys turned in certainly could garner some interest elsewhere, and that's going to be something to keep an eye on. But yeah, rewatching this one, Grismetos was, you know, insanely impressive. Trace McSorley, what else can you say about the guy? I mean, clearly he's been playing hurt, but looked healthy. That block he went out there and threw early on the opening drive, to me, that was kind of the, hey, this guy is okay. He looks back to, you know, his old ways. So absolutely really dominant, impressive showing. And, you know, some might make the argument it was one of the few complete games that Penn State played this season. So rather late than never, Dustin, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I thought the same thing. Probably the most complete game from minute one to minute 60. You know, it wasn't a situation where they played 15 or 30 minutes of bad football and they really played well for 30 minutes. Because even the games where they were dominant, you know, it wasn't so for all 60 minutes against Pitt, for example. It wasn't so all 60 minutes against Illinois. This game from start to finish, they exerted their will early and were never really threatened. And I thought the most impressive thing, yeah, as you mentioned, was Etor Grismetos and this defense really taking Maryland out of their game plan. And as they did that, the offense was scoring points. And ultimately, you saw in the second half that they abandoned the run almost completely. Did Anthony McFarland get a touch in the second half in the ground game? I don't think he did. And it was all because of the way that Penn State
shut down.
Yeah, Penn State controlled the game in all facets.
Absolutely, Justin. And I think one of the things, too, when you just look at, I mean, the numbers that Grismetos put up, I mean, it's insane. 20 tackles for loss this season. And remember the conversations, you know, we were all having in August when you look in Ryan Buchholz, you know, medically retired and all these things. I mean, what a blessing in disguise that was, you know, for people to be able to see Grismetos come on like this. And, you know, it's no coincidence the company that he's in with those 20 tackles for loss in the season. I mean, those were three of those four players were former NFL first-round draft picks. So I think you look at it, the kid's only a sophomore, and I know I've said it on here before, but the ceiling for him is just really, really high, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see what happens with him here in the next year.
It's always fun when you watch a player come into his own. You know, Grismetos last year as a true freshman was in pretty rare air playing, you know, a sizable role as freshman in that position. That's rare. That's uncommon. You started to see and feel how uncommon he is. And now with, you know, the additional year to play more snaps, to get bigger, get stronger, he's got all the tools necessary. Length, strength, plays the run, gets after the passer, speed, all that stuff. And, you know, Greg asked an interesting question earlier. You know, is he getting his due nationally? And I don't think yet, because he hasn't really delivered, you know, a big performance like this one on a national stage where all eyes were on Penn State, but it's only a matter of time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think this is somebody, and again, because he's so young, you know, I think as Penn State gets into the off season, you're going to see and probably hear more about him, too. I mean, I think in terms of publicity and those types of things, I think it's going to come as he gets, you know, a little older and a little more comfortable. I mean, because he is, at least around the media, really soft-spoken, extremely polite kid. I mean, this is somebody who, I remember going to see him at that Old Dominion camp when he was a recruit, and that's when Penn State like fell head over heels in love with this guy. So certainly I think nationally it's got to pick up at some point for sure.
Yeah, it was interesting. We talked to recruits from time to time on this show, mm-hmm. and anytime a kid is 17 or 18, it can be kind of tricky trying to figure yeah. out how much they'll have to say. He, you know, we talk for like 12 minutes, you and I do, and I probably asked him, I'll ask you three questions in 12 minutes. I asked him probably 50. And that was when I was, okay, all right. He does his talking on the field. That's fair enough. One of the other things out of this game, I mean, it was about the win. It was about getting to 9-3, and it was about kind of establishing, like, this is the floor of the program. As it stands right now is to win nine games, go 9-3, and people are feeling disappointed. I think the way that they closed the season started to erase that a little bit, but really the big thing was just Trace McSorley getting his curtain call, his last throw at Beaver Stadium being a touchdown pass, coming off the field the way that he was able to come off the field. It wasn't a game where he had to labor, the offense had to labor, just perfect mm-hmm. circumstances to end a career. And I just wonder, you know, a couple days later, just where you've been thinking in terms of his legacy and how he'll be remembered and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, fitting ending for Trace McSorley. And I thought it was a really cool scene when, you know, the seniors took that lap around the field at the end. And the fan reception was, you know, hey, I get it. The weather was terrible. All the parking closures, Thanksgiving break, all that stuff. The crowd certainly wasn't what Penn State had wanted or had hoped. But by the end of the game, for those people who stayed through that, you know, messy weather, sloppy, all that kind of thing, they were really treated to a special send-off, and the players appreciated it. You could tell the fans were soaking it in. And I'll go back to a conversation I had with Todd Blackledge for a story I did on The Athletic, Trace McSorley and what is his legacy. And I talked to nine different people, and Trace's parents, high school coach, and Blackledge, and a bunch of other people about him. And the one thing that Blackledge said that stood with me was, he said, you know, you look at Trace, he's really unassuming, but the record that mattered most to Blackledge was being that all-time winningest quarterback, which, of course, Trace supplanted him 2 weeks ago against Rutgers with that record. He's like, you know, that's the record that matters. Everything else, personal accolades, it's great, but when it comes down to it, this guy is a winner. And I think we saw that this year, despite everything that went wrong around him. His poise was really, I think, one of his best attributes. I mean, this guy, we saw it with Hackenberg with the bad body language. I mean, you'd see Matt McGloin kind of go off the cuff every now and again. I mean, that was him. That was his personality. And that just hasn't and was never McSorley. And this year it would have been easy for him to get frustrated, to, you know, yell at these receivers after drop passes, to, you know, to be mad, all these sorts of things. But he never did that, and at least he never did it publicly. And to me, I think that really speaks volumes about him, and I think that poise is as much, you know, as part of his legacy as were the chunk plays, as were the fact that, you know, with the exception of those two losses to Michigan, Penn State was never really out of a game with this guy at quarterback, and that to me is just really remarkable legacy.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking to Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. The segment brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I know you will, Audrey. You probably have been already. I don't know.
you know, it is weird. You get all this time at the end of the season, and you're like, you know, what do you do now? Because you're just used to going and going and going.
Yeah, so now's the perfect time to get drunk, in other words, is what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying, Justin, but maybe.
I'm putting words in your mouth. I think it's interesting what you say, his physical skills and all that, but the unflappability and how important that was to arrive at Penn State when it did in 2014. I think with all the guys in the 14 class, but certainly with Trace at the front of the line there, these are guys who ran into a hard situation. They chose it. You know, some of them obviously followed James from Vanderbilt here, including mm-hmm. Trace. But that group, you know, it was on their shoulders and on Trace's shoulders for sure to not just stabilize the program, but to be able to stabilize it when it was hard in 2014 and 15, and then turn the corner. And that's where Trace was, right at the heart of that. they changed their program forever. And I think at some point in time, I still don't think what Trace was able to do, because he did it so quietly in a lot of respects, and he did it 2 years with Saquon Barkley in the same backfield as him. I still don't think it's fully appreciated, but history will be very, very kind to Mr. McSorley.
Absolutely. And I think that whole senior class, you know, you look at that group, and one of the people who I wrote about in my Upon Further Review piece on The Athletic was Torrance Brown. And this is somebody who, again, sustains the season-ending injury early last year, medically retires. Easy to forget about him and all of this, but this is somebody who players kept pointing to as a leader. And I thought it was a really cool moment ahead of the game when they're doing the Senior Day ceremony, and it was Brent Pry who was out there waiting for Brown, you know, to meet him on Senior Day. His parents weren't there. And the story between those two guys I thought was really fascinating. It just spoke to the relationship, the fact that, you know, they recruited Brown to Vanderbilt. He tears his ACL in high school. Brent Pry keeps recruiting this kid when so many other schools backed off. And I remember Torrance Brown's dad telling me at one point, you know, Brent Pry was there one day in a Vanderbilt jacket. You know, a couple days later, he's there in Penn State gear. And I mean, for these guys to see this thing through, Trace McSorley rehashed some of those stories last week. And, you know, that's, to me, it speaks to how they committed to a coaching staff. And every commit is going to say, oh, I'm committing to a school. And to some degree, they do. But when you're committing like that, I mean, Brown was sight unseen. I mean, he didn't take his official visit until after he had signed. Guys like that, I think it was really just nice to see them have their moment. Because like you said, I mean, I think fans have been spoiled by what's happened here the last couple of years. And you never know, for as much as people said, oh, I want to see Tommy Stevens, I want to see this, I want to see that, don't wish it away. I mean, you just had the all-time winningest quarterback. Who knows what happens next? It's certainly going to be a tough act for Tommy Stevens to follow. But I think that's what really made Saturday so special.
About 30 seconds here. I know at 9-3, with the possibility for double-digit wins, where do you anticipate them going bowling? And how about the idea that this team could be 10-3 and ranked in the top 10 at the end of the year? The way things went in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a topsy-turvy year in college football when you look at it. Penn State, to me, in the Citrus Bowl would be a great matchup now. Dustin, this might be me asking for too much. One, Orlando, but two, should they play Mississippi State in that Citrus Bowl, that would be a really appealing matchup, more so than like a Kentucky in my mind. But hey, you never know. I'm just hoping for warm weather, Dustin. That's my top priority, and I'm sure that's all the committee cares about, is making sure that you know, I feel good and warm.
Make sure you get a word out to the committee. I know the Citrus Bowl was in State College for that. Just make sure
you already talked after the game.
You got a lot of pull in the committee. That's Audrey Snyder.
Tons of sway.
From The Athletic, exerting her will on the bowl game scenario. Thank you, Audrey.
You got it. Take care.
We're looking around the national outlook, looking ahead to championship weekend in college football. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.